ever wants to increase his risk and to live a long life should honor ties with his blood relatives. Blood relatives.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. The summary of a hadith which was recorded by Imam Suyuti, the one who sent 100 durood upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Jum'ah, Allah Rabbul Izzat wal Jalal will fulfill 100 of his needs. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, salatan wa salaman alayka ya Rasulallah. Viewers of Madani Channel, again we would like off to start by praising Allah Rabbul Izzat wal Jalal and likewise by sending durood and salutation upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just a reminder to remind you that the topic is still family matters, that is the name of the whole silsila, and today we will be discussing those things which can break the family ties. What are those things which can break the family ties? This is the point of discussion today, wherein we're going to scrutinize and we're going to mention some other hindrance which can break a family tie. Inshallah, today we shed more light. So we are going to discuss what we can call enemies to the family. Enemies to the family, these are the things which will destroy the family. So there are few things, rather there are numerous things to say, but some of them, they can be more dangerous. So due to time, we are not going to vouch into each and every one of them, but we are going only to select those which can cause maximum harm. Perhaps by chance elaborate when we see and when we feel that this one here, it must be given precedence upon the other, and it can be given an explanation so that people, the viewers of Madani Channel, will understand better. So today, allow us to start that the heart itself can be a tool to make the family, and it can break the family, because all have got to do with the heart. If the heart is clean, then also the personality of somebody become clean, and if the heart is corrupted, then of course the personality, the shakhsiyya of somebody, the muru'a, is also jeopardized. So in as far as the family is concerned, the heart itself, if the heart is always clean, you find that even to maintain the family relationships or to unite everybody, it's easy. Why are we saying so? Allow me quickly to give an example, a thought-provoking paradigm. It is reported that there was a couple, this couple, they were staying together, much that the neighbor also was living adjacent unto them, meaning to say it was just some few blocks or a block away or just be in the same vicinity, wherein it was easy for the wife each and every time to peep through the window and always see the building of the neighbor. Likewise, there was a laundry line wherein the neighbors used to put their laundry after washing. So the wife used to peep and see these clothes which were put there. So most of the time she used to give the nasty comments and nasty remarks, when the husband come to work, that, you know, as a matter of fact, our neighbors who are staying near us, see, I don't think they are good in as far as washing clothes is concerned. Most of the time when they put the laundry and when they put the clothes there, I'm just seeing that this laundry or these clothes are dirty. It happened for days, the husband never gave some remarks, till one day the husband did called a professional to come and clean and to maintain the window. So he came and he cleaned the window. The wife was not away. So again, she did go again to peep, and this time around, she was amazed to find that this time around the clothes were clean. So she again reported this news to the husband that this time around, I think my neighbors now, they have got what it takes now to wash the clothes. But with a smile, the husband said that, no, today we happen to clean our window. So all these days, it was not the clothes of the neighbors, but it was the dirtiness of our window. Because of Mother Nature, no, that's also the heart. If the heart is dirty, whatever you will see also will become dirty. If the heart is full of animosity, whatever will be seeing around you, it will be animosity. This is how we have got to pay attention to the heart, much that even the family, if you look at the family members with a heart full of animosity, you won't be able to maintain. What you'll be seeing, it will be grudges that people hate me, they don't like me. We are saying like this because most of the time in our family, you will find that my cousins does not like me, my niece have got this with me, my brothers, they are just like, you know, how nowadays we say many things we put into commotion. But normally, most of the time, it starts with us. If our heart, ourself is clean, whatever we will see, even be it from the people who are wicked, it will tend to make the things also from this wickedness. We're just only seeing some virtues. We'll be seeing the positive. We'll become a positive thinker. We won't be concentrating on the negative. You see, in life, that is how it is. No one is perfect. Somebody cannot get 10 out of 10. So if they get 7 out of 10, treat it like it's a 10 out of 10. Even if they get 5 out of 10, it's a pass. You know, just welcome. That is how it is. Perhaps, perchance, due to human nature, even they can get 3 out of 10. So you are there to tot Allah up and to round it to the next round figure, which is 5 out of 10, which is meaning to say that we just have got to have got it, that, you know what, just try to have got a clean heart. See things from different perspective. Things they might not look as they are in reality. It gave me also a brief analysis of the book called Al-Mathnawi of Imam Jalaluddin Ar-Rumi. Imam Jalaluddin Ar-Rumi also, he mentioned to that you know, don't jump into conclusion. Always let your heart settle before trying to settle any score. He wrote in his book, the Fables of Imam Rumi, it is known from the East and to the West, due to the massive and gigantic lessons which Imam Ar-Rumi used to give, the Madani pool, the flowers emanating from the book. In one of the story, he said that there was a merchant, there was a trader. This trader, he had with him a parrot, and the parrot was very beautiful, much that it had a crown with it, a feather, some feathers which were resembling like a crown, wherein when people used to see it, they used to fall in love with it. So what happened, the merchant used to keep this parrot with him in his, let's say, business or shop, to mention it. So most of the time he used to have good company of the parrot, and whenever also the customers, they come, perhaps for chance, be entertainment a little bit with the parrot. What happened is that also the parrot used to also to help him, how sometimes if he's away and somebody come, it used to make some shrieks, then the alarm will alert him that maybe a customer is there or even a thief is there. So the merchant used to benefit this way from the parrot also as well. Till one day he did go out and he left the parrot as usual. Then the cage was not locked that time around. So due to curiosity, the parrot came out from the cage. And unfortunately also there was a cat. The cat came in the shop and, you know, it spilled the oil jar. So the oil was spilled everywhere, according to the story of Imam Jalaluddin Ar-Rumi. So now, upon seeing this, the parrot again started to shriek, to send some alert and some alarm to the to the mansion who happened to be far away this time around. And upon coming back, seeing all the scenario, the mansion was very, very angry. This time around, unfortunately, the cat did its thing and it ran away. So in the scene, there was nothing else to be seen except the parrot. Due to human nature, the mentioned came to conclusion hurriedly that it was none except that it is the parrot who spilled the oil jar. So due to anger and furiousness, he slapped the parrot, made that it lose its crown, those feathers which were protruding by its head, and it became dumb. A day started to glide and to pass by, and the parrot was dumb now. It was silent, and there was no any amusement, and no any talking of it, and, you know, cut the long story short. See, he did go on and, you know, mention, but this is not what I want. What we want to only to learn in this, that, you see, whenever you rush to conclusion, you always make a wrong decision. We need just also try to make sure that the heart must be stabilized. Don't think with a pumping heart. Let it stabilize, let it cool down, let your blood pressure sink, and you just have got to think of the matters. Many a time, we just have got to see the thing, because by mere appearance of the situation, like here it was looking like it was the parrot, without him knowing that something strange happens to come, and, you know, it did what he was claiming, that it was the parrot, but it was something else. In our relationship also, you find that, you know what, they can be from the outskirt, from the outward looking, that a thing can be looking like it's negative. But if we scrutinize and if we investigate properly, we'll see that it is positive. It is the nature of the things. Just try to see. Just try to see. That is how it is. Things, they are not sometimes what we see. So if we think that, you know what, so and so is hating me, so and so does not liking my appearance, they've got a grudge with me, we need not to rush to this type of conclusion. Rather, we need to investigate that, is there something wrong, or is there somebody influencing that somebody, that they can be what they are? Because by nature, no one is being born with a grudge with anybody. So it means maybe there was something wrong. We need to try to find out. In most cases, believe you me, it will be Iblis, like the cat here. It came, that is how Iblis does. He come and cause the situation and the scenario, then he run away. Then when we start to see, we start to hate one another. Perhaps I'll be sick, or my business is not moving well. You see, Iblis will come and do his play with our thoughts and, you know, with the words. And then we start to think maybe it's the cousins, it's, this is far relatives, and, you know, all these things. These are the things which we need to watch out in as far as our family is concerned. So the heart, it must be always, always clean. Whenever there is a clean heart, always everything is good. That's why even in Ibadah, we normally value most the heart itself, because that is where it is, the asas, the root of everything. The Prophet ﷺ also used to warn us that beware, indeed, in the human body, there is a chunk of flesh, there is a piece of flesh. If it is okay, that piece of flesh, then the whole body is okay. If it become corrupted, then also the whole body is corrupted. Beware, be informed, be told that it is none except than the heart. So you find that it can maintain the family, and also it can destroy the family. And from among us, the thing, whilst we are also in the heart, we need to also know that the tongue have got a pivot role in making or breaking the family. Most of the words which we say, if we can swallow them back, believe you me, the family status cannot reach what we have reached in nowadays. I can say that the words which we say normally, they destroy the family in such a manner that it is hard sometimes to try to mend what the tongue is destroyed. It's not like anything else. It's not like an ordinary organ. You know, somebody, you can shoot him with a bullet. And if he's still alive, and maybe you shoot the leg, and they can take the and try to make some operation to heal it up. But when you shoot with the tongue, normally the penetration will not only reach in the physical body, but it will be also carried to the soul of somebody. It will hurt him most. So also the tongue, you've got a very pivotal role to play in as far as the family is concerned. So that's why you find that in all the language, there are proverbs normally directed mainly on the tongue. They will give us how to use the tongue, when to use the tongue and why to use the tongue. For example, in Urdu, they say that normally you need to weigh first before you speak. First of all, weigh your words, then put them into speech if you weigh them first. Then also in Arabic, they've got a proverb that, you know, the words of the mouth, they need to have got three lockers, three guards to safeguard them. Number one, before you want to say something, make a research that what am I about to say, is it true? Right? Before again saying it, make a research that is it health? Again, before saying again, make a research that the receiver, is he going to be happy? Put yourself in his shoe, in his or her shoe, that if somebody was to tell me what I am about to tell somebody, if it was me, what could have been my reaction? How am I going to feel? This is all important. We need constantly to keep on evaluate this before we say. Number one, is it true? Number two, is it healthy? Number three, is it human consumable? Is it going to be able to digest it? Then number four, is it necessary? It does not mean when something is true, is necessary to be told. For example, if brother so-and-so, he happened to fail, be it in school or whatever arena which we can put his failure on, but if you go to him and keep on saying that, yeah, you are a failure, it will pain him. Now, of course, it's true, but was it necessary for you to mention all these things? It was not necessary. Find other words, you know what, not to find the words which will trigger animosity. This is what we are trying to say. So if it is in the family, we always meet with them, we always stay with them. So we need to make sure that the tongue, like how we normally hide our faults, we need to hide also the tongue. Imam Shafi'i used to say that, oh my tongue, if you happen once to speak about other people's faults, then you must know that other people also, they've got their tongues. Then he said that, oh my eyes, whenever you want to see faults in other people, then you must know that what other people also have got eyes also. What do they say in Arabic? If you want to scrutinize people, people will examine you. If you want to scrutinize the people, then people will go on further and examine you. Who are you? If you want to, each and everybody, you want to find faults in people, they will also try to dig deep down into your faults, and they will reveal it also. Because all of us, we are full of faults and defects. Then he said that, oh my ears, if you want to listen also about other people's faults, you must know that everybody also have got ears. You know, the tongue, yes, it can make the family and break the family. Also, it can make your ibadah and destroy also your ibadah. You enter into Islam through your tongue, and you can come out also through the tongue. And the family, I said that these are the things, which need to be tightened, If this, we don't tighten something with some screw, it becomes loose. So we need to tighten these things so that to maintain. These are the things which can break the family. So we mention it so that the viewers of Madani Channel, they must have got a glimpse of how and where are we getting it wrong. If somebody is dead, there's a post-mortem to try to find what did killed him. That is how it is. So our relationship actually nowadays, our family ties nowadays, we are taking a post-mortem. What did kill the family? It's not like those days. So we come to know that these things which we are mentioned, like the heart, the tongue, these are the things which are destroying the family unity nowadays. Whilst we are still there, we say that in this proverb, the Arabs, they put this proverb that words of the mouth must go under three stages, or rather three locks, or rather three guards before it come out to be said. Number one, we need to ask ourselves that, is it true? We're still on the first point. Is it healthy? Is it necessary? Because not all things which are true can be necessary to be said. Then number two, also you need to ask that, is it beneficial? When you want to say something, what benefit are you left going to produce? Because speaking can waste a lot of muscles. Like here I'm giving my talk and I'm using my muscle, but the goodness is what is more than what some few nutrients which I'm using. Why? Because it will be beneficial in this dunya. I can make a revision also. It will make me also to revise and how should I treat my relatives. And also it is a program, and it will be also a tarbia to anybody who is listening right now, that a family, this is how to maintain it. So it's being beneficial. So in family, before we want to speak, allow me to say that if you are sitting with your cousin, you need to know that whatever you are about to say, does it bring benefit to maintain the cousinhood of yours? Is it benefiting him? Is it benefiting you also? If you don't have anything, just keep quiet, my brother. There is no anything to be fake and to forge. Just be yourself and make sure that you say only things which bring benefit. Be it you want to advise, be sincere, be genuine. Only those things, whenever you find that the advice is there to give benefit. Nowadays, you know, we just advise, and sometimes if it is not the proper words to advise with, and then sometimes it is an advice to bring somebody down also as well. This is what we need also to note, whilst we are on the point of also controlling the tongue in as far as family matters is concerned. Imam Shafi'i, he is saying that if you want to advise me, take me aside, go with me aside and advise me. Not just you start to advise me in front of everybody. Just imagine it to be a family function, and then you go, you start to spill out your heart in front of everybody against your cousin, against your brother. How will that cousin and brother feel? So he said, take me aside, go with me, respect me also as an insan, like you are an insan, my brother, I mean also an insan. Same blood which flow on your vein is the same blood which is your emotions. What can harm you can harm me also. So bear this in mind and take me and make your words not to be harsh but gentle, and give me advice in seclusion. Because the advice which is given in public, wallahi, it is a form of humiliation and deformation. He said, I don't want to have got to anything to listen to this type of advice. So really, we need to know that, is it beneficial to select also the right time of giving the advice? There is like a fruit when it is ripe, it will fall down, it will wait, yani, for quite long till it mature, till it become big, till it become consistent. That's what I also advise. Sometimes you want to advise somebody, keep it. Try to find at the moment when somebody is happy, then give him the advice. You see that already he's doing something and he's angry and you just want to chip in. That's why in most of the time people, they don't accept advice. It is because of these things here. So you need to make sure that, is it beneficial before you have got to say it? Find the solution to solve the family matters, not to dissolve the family matters. May Allah Rabbul Izzatul Jalal bless one and all. And we make dua that Allah Rabbul Izzatul Jalal benefit us. Amin bijahin nabi amin sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim.
Whoever wants to increase his risk and to live a long life should honor ties with his blood relatives.